Brethren and sisters, I don't like to have to be the one to bring the meeting to a close, but nevertheless, it's something that's got to be done. This book that we have here has been opened last night, and it has been opened 3 times today. And we can say, I believe in full assurance of faith, that the facts have been presented to you. And we pull no punches, as we might say. The facts have been presented. And I think, speaking for myself and possibly for everyone, they have been put forward to you very plainly. I was speaking to Brother Tony after his remarks today, and one or two others, and it was said, we just don't know how to sometimes speak these things to the congregations, that there are some subjects that it's a little bit difficult of just how to put them over so that they will accomplish the purpose for which they were intended without offending anyone. But brethren, we're not here at this gathering, and I do not believe at any gathering, to offend any of the brethren and sisters. I don't believe anything has been said at these gatherings to do that. We hope not anyway. But what we want to do, as Brother Tony and myself were talking about, is to look facts in the face. You've taken a responsibility upon yourself, I've taken one upon myself, that we are going to abide by what's recorded in this book. Now, let's look facts in the face. If our Master, and if the Apostle Paul, and if the prophets have spoken the words that we have heard this morning, let's not ignore the brethren who spoke them to you today, because they carry just as much weight from the mouths of the one that spoke this morning as it did back in those days. They mean the same thing. It's necessary to follow the same pattern of life that Christ laid down in his day. It requires the same kind of a life today. Now, we have a tendency, human nature, to stick cotton in our ears, so to speak, when we hear words of exaltation of do this and don't do that. But let's take the cotton out of our ears, and if it applies to us, and I do not lead myself out, if it applies what we have heard in any way, let's take it and use it for our own welfare and possibly pass it on unto others. We have a tendency, a human nature, to stop our ears up if something unpleasant seems to be said. But we will usually find, if we will really look deep in their own hearts, we will find that when we refuse to listen, it's because we are guilty of what's being said. And brethren, our life depends upon what is recorded in this book. And if we stop our own ears up, if we listen just as Israel did to just smooth words, we're going to end up just as Israel, turned away from the face of God. Now, I do not mean to be saying anything funny from the stand. It's not my usual method, but sometimes there are things that carry a lesson with it. A little plaque that I saw not too long back, it had an ostrich on it, and he had his head stuck in the ground. And he was saying that, he had already made up his mind, don't confuse him with the facts. Now let's not make up our minds ahead of time and not listen to what other people have to say to us and say, don't confuse me with the facts. If the facts are there, accept them, and I'm sure that we'll be better off for it. Now I'd like to just briefly just call to your attention again the headings of the remarks that were made this morning, just to refresh into your mind what they did speak on. Our brother DeLiberto, as his heading, so you will not forget it, was one world, one religion, and one language. It's a very important subject. It's a key to the whole plan of salvation. And there was a man of the world not many years back who ran for the President of the United States that had that key. He was Wendell Willkie, who wrote the book called One World. There was a key that he had in his hand of to what God has decreed is going to come to pass. That is the only possible way that there can be unity enough among mankind to give God the honor and glory that he deserves. The only way that we can possibly have peace is actually, as he said, one world. Of course, he had in mind a world made up of men ruling it who were mortal, sinful men, a central form of government. But of course, we understand from the Bible that our one world that we look forward to is going to be composed of Christ and the saints. There will be one world, there will be one government by Christ and the saints. And when that world comes into being, then, as Brother Charlie brought out, there will be just one religion. There will be one language that will be given to the people, and God's glory will then begin to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Our Brother Caudell from Norfolk spoke on discouragement. That's very important. We all have been discouraged at times. I know I have. I know you have. In living the life that, or trying to live the life that Christ has given us. But let's keep our faith strong. There's going to be times we're going to hit snags. And I always like to compare our lives with a little child, as others have done. When we think that we're children, we are children in the eyes of God. He's our Father. And just as our children disobey us, not that they want to do it, they're happy to disobey us, any more than we want to disobey our Heavenly Father, but yet we do it. And so our own children disobey us, and we correct them in measure, so God will correct us in measure. As our children need help, we give them the help because we love them. And we can be sure that God, who is our Father, will give us the necessary help when we fall from grace, as we might say. And let's be like the little child who's beginning to walk. A little child just starting, he falls down. You don't see him stay on the floor. You see him get up and try again. Well, it may take weeks. He holds on to a chair, he holds on to a sofa, he holds on to a bed, but he continues to fall. But he gets up, and he walks again till finally, after a period of time, he's walking. And that's the way it's going to be with us when we finally reach the day of the kingdom. Throughout our probation, we are children. In God's sight, we continually fall. We get discouraged, and we fall and fall again. But in the kingdom, if we follow through, if we keep trying, if we overcome this discouragement, when the day comes that our Master's return, then he will see that we walk. We will be walking in immortality, never to fall again. Then we have Brother Tony, who spoke on the peace of God. That there was a battle that is within us that has to be fought. The Apostle Paul fought it, and he said that he didn't fight a sham battle. It's a real enemy that we have got to fight against. And let's not turn our heads and look at the person sitting next to us and say he's having a pretty hard time living the truth. And look on his weaknesses, because Paul brought it very plainly that sin was within us, and that our greatest battle is not our neighbor, but ourselves. And Paul said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. When Paul fought against the sin within himself, he didn't hit air. He hit the sin that was causing him to lose his salvation. And he fought a good enough fight to where he knew that he would be in the kingdom of God. And lastly, our brother Charles gave us his remarks on recognizing our needs. And I'm sure that none of us will disagree with the facts that he brought out. That there's none of us that do not need help and encouragement and many other things that he himself has enumerated. And that's something, brethren, that we can give each other this day. It's one of the purposes that we have come together at this gathering and others, is because we recognize our needs. Our main purpose, definitely, is to bring honor and glory to God, firstly. But it is one of our needs for the brethren to come together as often as they can, that we might, when we leave, feel that we have been strengthened, and that we may, as that little child, get up again when we do fall. So, brethren, they are the remarks, just briefly speaking, that we have heard. I hope you've profited from them as much as I have, and we do appreciate all of the brethren and sisters, everyone who have come from a distance, and the brethren here in Richmond who have helped make our gathering a success. And I do not want you to put a small value on yourself just because you were not at the stand speaking. I don't want to minimize the value of the speaking brethren, They have given us a lot of treasures to think about. But the very fact of your presence was just as important. You might feel that you haven't done anything, but the little man on the fourth row, the third seat in, he was just as important as the man at the stand. The fact that he was there to listen and to talk to the brethren afterwards was carried with it a lot of value. We could not have a gathering if it were not for the congregation that was sitting in the audience. So keep that in mind. We appreciate all the effort that has been put forth. We thank the committees that worked on the food. We thank the committees that got the speakers, and the committee for the other things, all those who contributed to it. I know I speak for the ecclesia and for everyone, giving them a thank you. Now, if the Lord wills, we hope to have a gathering next year, I imagine, if the Lord has not returned. But our parting words to all of you brethren here from this ecclesia would be that the Lord be with you, and that his face will shine upon you, and that he will give you the peace that our brother Tony spoke about this morning. And we hope that you'll come back and see us again before long, not just at a gathering, but you're welcome at all times. So let's bring this gathering now to a complete close with the singing of hymn 254.